What's up? This is Kyle Bosquet. I'm back on the 1 yard line. It's been a minute since I podcasted from the 1 yard line. Anybody who's listened to my former podcast, I don't think I podcasted since May, but it's time. Today, I bring to you the pivot. The pivot is a very, very transitional thing, very important. Before the, in actuality, was the 1 yard line concept, there was the pivot, you know, because thinking in retrospect about my life, and this I think applies to all, you know, we pivot a lot in our life. I coach my kids in sports, my daughter in softball, and, you know, my son's in basketball. And I'm teaching these little kids how to pivot. And footwork with 6, 7, 8, 9 year olds is one of the hardest things in the world, right? So really, you know, it just turns into, you know, stand on one leg and turn in a circle while holding the ball. But, you know, if the 1 yard line was about using due care and being that MVP, you know, motivated volitional purpose, the pivot is necessary at every stage of life. You know, you have to know when to change direction in life. You know, you have to know when to gain clarity. You know, the pivot is about gaining clarity, because you can't even get on the 1 yard line if you don't have clarity. The 1 yard line will help you define, you know, further define that clarity and purpose, but you have to get a clear view. You know, for those that are not really into sports in the business world, you know, there's a pivot as well. And essentially the pivot is, you know, a shift in strategy, you know, but it's not a shift in goal. So for instance, in basketball terms, the pivot allows you to change direction to either shoot, in which, you know, you're still focused on that same goal and potentially score, or pivot and pass. And you may pass to a teammate, or hopefully you pass to a teammate, and then you can either backdoor, reposition, and get the ball back. But either way, that pivot allows you clarity and a different understanding, but doesn't make you change your goal. You know, for me, prior to November 30th, 2017, you know, my goal was to be the best Kyle. And at that time, what that meant was to be a great father, to be a great husband. You know, although me and my wife separated 2016, 2017, I was still fighting for that relationship. To have a great career, and then to be the best Kyle. So, you know, if you quote that order, and it was exactly in that order at that time. And those were the four things that I really, really focused on in my life at that time. Now, oh man, now it's kids and Kyle. That's it. Fuck a career. And at this point in my life, and hopefully this will change, and I'm going to work for this to change, but fuck a wife, fuck a girlfriend right now. I'm working on me. I'm focusing on me. Because I want to present the best me, mentally, spiritually, physically, to my potential wife, life partner, whatever you want to call her, love of my life. So that's the only thing I'm focusing on now. Because remember, you are the enterprise. You are your own enterprise. And, you know, you have to build yourself up and just invest so deeply into yourself that you build equity in yourself and value in yourself. You know, I've stated before, the 1 yard line is where you find self-love. The pivot is where you find clarity. You know, and I'm going to lay this down, and I really hope you digest this, right? But the best way to pivot is by utilizing a coach. You know, a third party, somebody, whether it's in a relationship and you bring in a marriage counselor or a mediator to guide you through the separation process, whether it's business where you bring in a consultant to help evaluate your company's strengths, weaknesses, and implement new strategies, whether it's your health where you hire a nutritionist or a trainer. Because understand, I've done all these things. Well, you know, sadly enough, I never brought in a coach for my relationship. Maybe if we did that, shit would have been different. But then again, we just really wasn't meant for each other. And, you know, me being able to pivot gave me clarity on that. But bringing in a coach is probably the best way to pivot. Because that person can help you change direction, change strategy, and give you clarity. You know, because like, as a basketball player, you know, because I'm never going to say, you're always the quarterback of your life, right? But sometimes even the quarterback, you have to pivot. And if you're looking downfield and you're looking through your progressions, left to right, right to left, you may have to change and dunk down, tuck and run. But either way, you have to change strategy. You know, but if you got a 350-pound lineman coming down, or, you know, if it's basketball, you got a 2 7-footers got you trapped in the corner, you know, you got to protect the ball and you know, maintain 1 foot solid on the ground and push through, change position, you know. And sometimes it's going to take a teammate on the court, you know, ball, so you know where to pivot to. So you can get the ball to them, they can get it back, boom. Change direction, change strategy. It may be a coach on the sideline. You know, dunk down, check down. I mean, however you want to conceptualize it, you know, because to me, a pivot speaks more to basketball. And like I always say, you know, sports is excellence on display. You know, that's why I use the analogies. And I think they work well. But I just want to say that, you know, when it comes to the pivot, winners make adjustments, not excuses. And winners never quit. You know, I've seen a lot of quitters in my life, and, you know, they wonder why they don't get the results that they want. It's because they quit when they should have pivoted, you know. They should have brought in another person to help them or counsel them through the progression, through the process. Change strategy, not goal. You know, quitting is changing the complete goal. So if you always, you know, quit and give up on your goal, you will never progress in life. And remember, Kyle Bosquet is always about progression, always about being better than I was before, you know. But this is the pivot. You know, this is the pivot. I'm going to define the pivot, you know. In general, you know, dictionary definition, it's a central point on which a mechanism oscillates. Yeah, that don't mean shit to me either. In basketball terms, it's basically the act of keeping 1 foot grounded while moving the other. So understand, when you're pivoting, you're still grounded. You know, your central point is still grounded in your goal and your intention and your purpose. And your other foot is finding new direction. Your other foot. And that's important. A lot of people are going to gloss by that statement. But really, like, pause this podcast right now. Really think about that. You're grounded and your other foot is looking in a new direction, a new strategy. You know, in life, change is virtually the only constant, you know. In life is never concrete. You're never stagnant, or at least you shouldn't be. And if you're stagnant, you're dying. You're not progressing. You're not reaching your goals, you know. Whether it's, you know, job, romantic, residence, your body image, you should always be looking to improve, to change. you know? And basically, there's two types. There's two types of pivoting, you know, because understanding, you know, I'm very reflective now because I spend a lot of time by myself. And there's, you know, the 1 yard line is a completely mental state of being. And, you know, you have to be fully self-aware. But pivoting is both a mental and physical, you know, challenge or concept. You know, for me in my personal life, right, I have mentally pivoted many times in reflection, right? And one time in particular where I was forced to pivot mentally, 2017, I'm going through complete self-destruction. I teleworked. I barely touched my laptop. I sat in my apartment with my bed, mattress, box spring, no frame, no couch. I had a TV. I didn't really pay my bills. I just let my paychecks accumulate. I ate a lot of peanut butter and jelly when my sons came into my house. I gave them spaghetti. For some reason, it took months and months and months for the eviction notice to pop up on my door. It took dumb long for the auto finance company to even say, hey, pay this. Like, I don't, you know, I had the big guy really working in my corner. My boss at the time, because remember, I took a demotion. So, you know, I think subconsciously they looked at me as like Batman. Like, oh, this motherfucker coming from D.C. with all this chutzpah, all this knowledge and experience to this position. So he should be a killer. So I think that alone gave me a lot of leeway with my boss. But then I think she recognized this motherfucker's depressed. Because understand, you know, God put some wonderful people in my life when he was forcing me to pivot. Understand, this was a forced pivot. This was a mentally forced pivot. You know, my wife walked out. She said, I don't want to be with you. I was, you know, I had taken a demotion. You know, I no longer live with any of my kids. I didn't live with any of my 4 children. That broke my heart. So I was forced to mentally pivot. And part of that was I had reinvigorated my law licenses at the time. Because for a time I didn't have either my PA or my New Jersey license, right? I had worked at HR, I was climbing fast, I had a really good salary. You know, when as an attorney doing non-attorney legal work, you kind of are looked upon as having superpowers, so I was able to grow quick, right? But I was like, I want to now have the title attorney, right? Because you're a lawyer if you graduated law school. You're an attorney if you are licensed in practice. And that's the distinction. So, you know, let's be clear. Because I was applying to law firms in Jersey because I had reactivated my Jersey license and was working on Pennsylvania. And I went to an interview for an attorney position. It was paying like maybe 65% of what I was making at my old job because I was able to retain most of my salary when I demoted myself, but not my future opportunity. I lost out on opportunity costs because I was making like 120, and I think within my band at the time, I could make like 150 or something. But when I got demoted, I was just at like the 120 or whatever. But I went to this interview, and the attorney says to me, how much money do you make? And I told him. And he said, and what do you do? I said, you know, I counsel management officials on employee relations and labor relations matters. And he's like, it says here you negotiate contracts and you review documents and you draft contracts. And I said, yeah. He says, so you're going to take a $50,000 pay cut to have a title. And I sat back and I was like, what am I doing? My whole self-worth and value was wrapped up into my title so much that I was willing to take a huge pay cut because somebody along the way told me, "You're the worst lawyer I've ever met. You suck as a lawyer. That's why you had to, you know, transition to labor-employee relations." And this guy sat back, and I remember it was a Newark, New Jersey law firm. Because understand, I've practiced mostly in Philly, but I've done a lot of municipal work in Jersey, and I've done a lot of deposition work in New York. And Philly attorneys are excellent attorneys. Like, Philly attorneys lawyer very well. New York attorneys get that bag. Like, they get that guap. Jersey attorneys, because of how Jersey is positioned geographically and the way the economies are fucking hustlers. And this dude sat back in his chair and he's like, "I don't fucking want you." He said, "This is the craziest shit I've ever seen in my life." He said, "First, I can't afford you. And the minute you get whatever the fuck you going through together, you go pop out and make double what I can pay you." He said, "Yo, man, let me tell you something." He said, "I don't give a shit what anybody calls you. I look at you as an attorney and you're very well paid." He said, "What I will do is we could, you know, set up a referral agreement and you could, you know, because this thing is a hustler." He's like, "You could send me clients and I'll break you off to 15%. But he's like, "I don't want you." I sat back and I was like, "Yo, I need to reevaluate something." And that was a pivot for me because I was going through such madness at that time that I was willing, because somebody had kind of brought my self-confidence down. And this is the weakest part of my life. And said, "Oh, you're a trash lawyer. You know, that's why you wasn't a lawyer very long. And you had to, you know, go to do labor employee relations." That I was willing to just slash my income, my livelihood, my kids' livelihood. Fucking crazy. That's a fucking pivot. Mental pivot. Another important pivot, a physical pivot for me. That was very important. It was a physical pivot and it led to mental grounding, right? Let's move forward now. And this was part of the 1 yard line and everything. In 2018, last year, actually, we're coming up on my 1 year anniversary. October 5th, 2018, I moved from Jersey back to my hometown, Philly. And for me, it was literally crossing the bridge because, you know, I was in Camden and then I did that goofy shit where me and my ex cohabitated. You know, and she was baiting me, walking around, you know. I mean, I ain't gonna front, you know. My exes look good, she walking around, revealing, you know, and I'm a man, so I'm like, you know what? We gonna get some clarity. Because remember, the pivot is clarity. You know, I needed to move. I didn't wanna, you know, because we set up the little goofy schedule, so I would be with the kids. She would, every other weekend, we, you know, physically leave the house over there. But yeah, that shit was not working. So October 5th, I think I physically left like September sometime, and I was Airbnb trying to figure out, because I knew I was moving to Philly, but it was just, you know, what neighborhood. So I think a week I stayed in North Philly. A week I stayed in South Philly and a week I stayed in West Philly. Oh, no, I was going to stay in West Philly, but I decided to just get an apartment in North Philly because it was just logistically better. You know, I live on my block, there's a bus. I live a block from the regional rail, 5 blocks from the subway, you know, that whole deal. It's just, I love where I live now. So I did that, and that was a physical pivot. Physical pivots are just as important because, I remember 2 years prior, my homie, Jeez, Mikey G said, yo, man, why don't we just move back to Philly? And I didn't really, I was like, what does it matter? Like, I live in the Philly area. But it did matter because when you come home and you're surrounded by energies that have always been good for you, you know, and you feel supported and protected. Even to like, my interactions with Jersey police have always been sketchy at best. I've had a lot of problems. And not saying Philly police are, they're far from perfect, but I got some close homies on the force and I've been taken care of, you know, nothing wild or crazy or nothing, but just, you know, I just feel a lot safer in Philly, and it was a mental thing. I needed to cross the bridge and be home. So that was another type of pivot for me. Now, that begs the question. That begs several questions, you know. You know, the how is always a question that's never answered when people put theories and concepts into the universe, right? So I've spoken about it a little bit previously. Getting the coach is an excellent way of pivoting, right? But I've also defined there are mental and physical pivots, and sometimes they overlap. So how I've been able to kind of pivot at times to score or pass the ball, for instance, right now I'm sitting in Atlanta. When I came to Atlanta in July to train, it was just the energy down here, you know? And something that I just couldn't explain, you know, my interaction was just positive, and it's continuing now. Like, this place is magnificent. From an interpersonal level, this place will enrich you. A romantic level, especially if you're a dude. I'm not gonna lie, I am enamored by the quality and quantity of the women in Atlanta. This shit is phenomenal. But I take solo vacations. You know, last year was Cuba. This year, this is more of a working vacation. You know, because, I mean, a great way to pivot is investing in yourself. And that's very, very vague and wide, and I meant it to be. Because I was talking with a young lady a couple hours ago at the bar downstairs in the hotel. And I was telling her about the podcast, telling her I was podcasting, you know, in a couple hours and blah, blah, blah. We were talking about, she's like, well, tell me what a pivot is. She's like, practice your podcast with me. So I'm like, listen, when you feeling down, right? A lot of people go shopping, and it was like shopping therapy or whatever. Now, depending on your financial means, that could be a total fuck up or a pivot. I mean, like for me, there was a point in time where I needed to really, really address my wardrobe. You know, and improve that area of my life. Whether it's physical self-care, getting your nails done, getting your hair done. For me, yoga. Yoga was another excellent way for me to pivot, excuse me, recenter. And really gain clarity, you know? And a really, really hard and important way to pivot is to admit that you are wrong. Because there are times, even now, that I am wrong. And I reflect back on, you know, like, I'm not gonna hide from it. You know, my wife walking out was traumatic. And, you know, I view her as, you know, a quitter because we never communicated. We never brought in a coach. You know, and I don't know. I can't say that. You know, maybe she left before I left. I don't know. I know I wasn't going to leave her and my kids hanging out there. So, you know, and I had the financial needs. She didn't. So she took more of a risk than I ever would have. But, you know, I wasn't an innocent party during that relationship or that marriage. You know, there were things I could have done. I could have swallowed my pride, my ego. I could have communicated better. I could have, you know, my mother always taught me to never ever lay my hands on a woman. And this is provocative, right? But I never in my wildest dreams thought about hitting a woman. I've never even contemplated it. But what my mom told me to do was remove myself. And I would. But from what she explained to me is that that increased her anxiety, because as somebody who had been cheated on before, she didn't think intuitively, I'm removing myself to avoid conflict. I'm removing myself to fuck with somebody else. And in certain cultures, certain, you know, depending on who your background is, who your mother, who your father was, and what their relationship was, you go to what you know. So for me, being raised by a single mother, I'm thinking, remove yourself, Kyle, before stuff escalates. You know, she's thinking, oh, he's going to see his other bitch. I'm never going to hide from provocative shit. I'm never going to not state what I believe the issue is. I really do think that being evenly yoked is a lot deeper than what people think, because discussing traumas and understanding other people's traumas is important. And as a man, if you date a female that has been cheated on and has a record of maybe infidelity within her family, you doing something as simple as rolling out, and I ain't gonna front, when I rolled out, I rolled the fuck out. Like, I would bar hop, I would be everywhere. That may elicit something that really doesn't exist. But, yeah, that's how I pivot. Now, I think I've already kind of dove into the whys, right? But let's dig deeper, because if you really need to know why you need to pivot, you're not even ready for the 1 yard line. But in a sense, you know, you're stagnant. You know, before you pivot, you have to assess where you're at. And generally, you're stagnant. You know, if it's a relationship, that relationship isn't growing. You're doing the same mundane things, you know, your routine, you know. So, like, I've been reading a lot about relationship dynamics, because that's one part of my life that I really want to, I want to be a good partner, right? And I'm not going to lie, like, I'm a two-time loser, and I got 4 trophies. I mean, you put that together, but, you know, in terms of a relationship, you got to infuse something new. You gotta change. You know, those same arguments, those same routines. You know, even if you gotta just, like, I don't know, order $1,000. Like, you can't even afford it, but for the sake of your relationship, order $1,000 worth of roses and have a motherfucking dump truck, you know, drop the shit off. Whatever. You know, I mean, I'm just, that's an example, but, you know, you have to do it for your health in every way as well. That's another why. Mentally, physically, you know, because the mind-body connection is strong. And as that mind is degenerating, the body's not far behind. Trust me. My mental state, coming out of breaking up with my wife, I lost like 20, 25 pounds, right? But it was like mostly muscle. And water weight, because I wasn't even really eating or drinking or really doing anything. And now my weight loss is much more sound. Like, I'm retaining. Like, I can't wait till November 30th when I get back on and I get my metrics measured. Like, I'm excited just because I feel better, because I'm thinking better, you know? But you gotta pivot to get to a better place, you know? If you're living a zombie life, you got to pivot, you know, and it's about happiness at the end of the day. Now, another great question is when, and I think the when and the why overlap greatly too. It's when your strategies are failing, you know, like at work, if you're doing the same tired shit, or if you have the same tired job, like, truthfully, this sounds corny and you hear it a lot, but if you are afraid or get anxiety from Monday, change your motherfucking job. Because it may be the physical, it may be the spiritual. I work at a job now where I am creating an employee assistance program. But it's really not that. It's really a mental wellness program. So I'm going out, like if you see me on IG, I'm traveling here, I'm traveling there, and I'm going to a lot of, you know, conferences with clinical people, you know, psychologists and all. And workplace trauma, violence, bullying, and even anxiety is fucking crushing society. I read and hear and interview people that literally have told me, I sit in my car before I go into work. I sit in my car before I go home. Like, truth be told, if I'm an employer, I don't even want your ass. Please quit, because you are not efficient as you can be. And if that needs to happen for me to gain my own clarity to address those issues, whether it's, you know, violence or whatever, or workplace bullying, I think that's making everything better. In terms of relationships, if you're sitting in the car before you come in the house to address me, we have broken down. We need to do something. Because you just sitting in that car building up this anxiety, that's not benefiting anybody. And realistically, you know, the One Yard Line podcast, I say provocative things, but I also want everybody to get to a better place. You know, that's society, that's people that interact with me, that's, you know, my exes. Like, I really just want people to get to a better place. Now, anecdotally, you know, because now it's time to distinguish between the One Yard Line and the Pivot. Now, in 2009, I probably took the greatest pivot in my life. And we all know in 2008 that the economy crashed. But in 2008, I also graduated law school. And, you know, I went the traditional route, paid the traditional monies, invested in me, blah, blah, blah. I summered at a firm in Philly. They gave me the offer. I accepted the offer. 2008, I sat for the bar. I passed the New Jersey and Pennsylvania bar. And yes, I passed the first time. Like, motherfuckers ask me that question. Most people pass the bar the first time. Like, it's really not. I mean, I know we all know people that have failed, maybe passed the second or third time, but I actually get more frustrated. I'm like, why? Because I'm a black man that I can't pass the fucking bar. Like, I saw a girl from high school, she went to UPenn, and I saw her in the Wawa out there when I was studying for the bar. And she was like, Kyle, I went to high school with you. She's like, the bar is much easier than law school. She's like, if you get through law school, you're going to pass the bar. And she was dead on. Like, the bar, well, in particular, the Jersey bar is easy as fuck. PA, you know, the multi-state, I think, was the biggest problem for most people. The questionnaire part, but whatever. But 2009, let's fast forward a little bit. I'm working at the firm. I work for GM, General Motors. And we all know, June 1st, 2009, General Motors Corporation filed the largest bankruptcy in U.S. history. And people really don't realize the streams of commerce within the U.S. There are literally probably, I'd say, 20 major companies that own 90% of the brands out there. GM is one of them. GM is a mega corporation. I mean, we talk about the Amazons and the Walmarts. And that's in particular because, you know, we talk about their value, right? But value and influence are two different things. Amazon generates a lot of revenue. GM extends its arm into a lot of communities. A lot of their subsidiary companies employ a lot of people. They themselves employ a lot of people. They have a financial arm that employs people. You know, they own parts of other automotive companies, like railroad companies, all types of stuff. Like, GM is everywhere. And another one of their employees is their attorneys. The firm I worked at was started by a bunch of former GM attorneys. So, of course, a lot of our work and our billables came from GM in every way. I worked in the litigation department. When you file bankruptcy, you can't be sued. Therefore, a lot of litigation goes by the wayside. I mean, there's some litigation that remains, but suffice it to say, the firm rolled about 20 of us. I think June 4th or it was June 5th, my grandmother's birthday. They rolled me out. And I remember it was raining. And I didn't have much in my office, but what I had already taken home earlier in the week. And I also started my USA Jobs account, and I did absolutely no work. I was just applying for jobs because I knew what was happening. And I remember I left that day, and they told me my severance, and I could keep my health care for a couple months, blah, blah, blah. And it was like 11:20. I walked out the offices right there, 6 and Arch. I guess 6 and Reese is where that, you know, they're up the street a little bit from my former job. But I went to a bar of like Northern Liberties back when it was like still gentrified a little bit. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, damn, it's like 12 o'clock and I'm in a bar. And I don't have a job. And I got 2 kids. And I think their mom at the time was still in nursing school with me. I think she was finishing up, graduating nursing school. So in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know, this is the test. This, you know, sure they got to jump out there, you know, because the legal profession is declining and I don't think it's ever recovered to this day. So that's my mindset. But I knew I had to change because even my little year of practice was hell. I was working like, you know, 70, 80 hour weeks. I remember I did a 90 hour week and I was like, I'm never doing that again in life. I didn't even know there was that many hours to work. I was running up to New York doing depositions, running New Brunswick, New Jersey to do depositions. I think I did a couple in Delaware, middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania. And I just did not really, like, I didn't see me being in that lifestyle for long. So I knew I had to pivot. And at the time, you know, I did the unemployment thing and, you know, I was doing all types of, this is how I got my municipal practice kind of going, especially in Jersey. Like I was doing traffic cases in Philly. I did some family law stuff in Philly, which was crazy. You know, like, you know, I was representing fathers and the mothers were like witches and all types of crazy stuff. Yes, I said witches, not bitches, witches with a W. And that was actually part of the litigation. The judge was just like, I don't even want to tell you what the judge was saying. But I was doing replevin cases in Jersey. I was doing a lot of credit card work and I felt like a fucking villain, man. Like, oh man, everybody was just going down back there. Like credit was getting fucked up left and right. Everybody owed everybody money. And it was like half the time, you know, I was standing around with attorneys and the judge would be like, your clients are collecting dead fucking weight. And I'm like, yeah. You know, the judge would kind of wonder out loud, like, they're never getting this fucking money. Like, we're all going through this dance and, you know, this is fucking dead weight. I don't even know why. And I'm like, yo, that's the only way I'm getting paid, Your Honor. But, yeah, that was a major pivot because it thrust me 100% out of legal practice because I was still hitting up USA Jobs and I caught on. I was a tax collector, or I forget my title, but I went to the IRS as a GS-5, making like $35,000 with 2 kids and a wife to support, doing all types of, you know, I worked second shift. I worked from like 4 in the afternoon till 12 at night. So all day I'm running around doing all these crazy cases and then going to the IRS building in Philly, which was all the way up Roosevelt Boulevard, if anybody's familiar with Philly at that time. And I really, really just, my shit was cloudy, but I was cool kind of because I was young. I was like 30, 31. So, you know, youth was on my side, and I said to myself, yo, you know, shit has to get better because shit has to get better. And it did. It did. I caught on with a job in Washington, D.C., and, you know, just basically that was the pivot, you know, moving from a full-time attorney, the economy getting crushed, and then me going the HR route. I think that was important because if I'd have stayed in a law firm setting, there's a special trauma. I'm not going to get into it, but I was the only black man there. I say it ad nauseum, I support and I advocate for black men because of my life experience. You know, every time I work with or adverse to a black attorney, 9 out of 10 times it was a female. Black men were rarely at the table. We're rarely seen as professionals. I mean, shit, in the NFL and the NBA, where the product is black men, you still don't have a large proportion of black coaches, you know, black GMs, and definitely, you know, what is it? Michael Jordan is like the only, you know, majority black owner of an NBA franchise. There's none in the NFL. You know, but that was the pivot. And that was important because later on that pivot will resurface but not be important because, remember, at times it was always brought up that I was licensed and I went to law school, but I wasn't an attorney. But as I stated before, it's about perception. You know, that's a semantic. I think a lot of times people get caught up in, you know, things that just don't matter and really petty things. And, you know, people will take you there and say petty things to you and elicit your insecurities. Because as I was pivoting towards HR and growing, I was always insecure that I was leaving behind what I dreamed about since I was a little kid. You know, I dreamed about being this attorney, but I'm flourishing and growing and wound up running the Mint, you know, labor program nationwide. But yet, I was still insecure that I couldn't call myself an attorney. You know, like I would go into meetings with attorneys and I'm like, damn, I actually know more than this motherfucker, probably litigate. Because like government attorneys, like they litigate, but employment attorneys within the government, you know, they do arbitrations, which is cool, but I had done arbitrations. I had done everything they did, except for I wasn't called an attorney. And that's why I tell people all the time, you gotta bring a coach in. Like, that attorney in Newark gave me some informal coaching. And I appreciated that. I appreciate that shit now. But the most significant pivot I ever had to take in life, you know, was in 2017. The second most important year of my life and my enterprise. The year where, you know, my self-esteem was the lowest it had ever been. Because remember, from the 1 yard line, I was a fucking winner. I never really had to pivot far, or I never recognized any different move I had to take as a pivot. You know, like, I had a straight run to the end zone or the goal for 38 years. But in 2017, coming out of, you know, demoting myself and my wife leaving me and my taking my kids and almost every possession we had and coming home to just a mattress and a 4-bedroom house, you know, I guess, you know, a lot of my self-worth was at that point. Because I hadn't invested in myself, taken away, you know. I had let myself deteriorate mentally, physically, spiritually. And I, please believe, I'm not blaming anybody else. And that's why I'm in the position I'm in now. I'm not dating. I'm investing in me. I'm putting my self-worth into becoming a truly better Kyle, right? Because if my wife had left me December 2016, I wouldn't be on the path I'm on now. I wholeheartedly believe that. I mean, you hear all the time, like, we've heard Noah's Ark, right? And we've heard the analogy of God making it rain to kind of wash the bullshit out your life. And this isn't an indictment on her. She's a wonderful mother. And that's her value to me. I said what I said, and I don't mince words. But please believe, I revisit the 1 yard line at least once a month, and I listen to that podcast. And mentally, where I've grown, even from March when I did it, is extraordinary to me. But I also recognize that most of those same principles and things that I talk about remain from the 1 yard line. And I've grown in every area of my life because of the 1 yard line. And the pivot was the initial change that sparked the 1 yard line. Because in 2017, November 30th, 2017, when I recognized, Kyle, your life will never be the same. You will not live in Sicklerville, New Jersey with your wife, your 4 kids, and have the job within the federal government. Because also that's other trauma. I pivoted away from that job. Because understand, when I demoted myself, I put myself into a whole lot of hell. You know, the IRS was an evil fucking place. I mean, you're talking about passive aggressive toxic energy. And they were afraid of my ass. When I went there with my resume, they made a concerted effort to not promote me. I interviewed in front of people that in my past position I supervised. They bullied me, didn't give me a cell phone for a long period of time, all types of stuff within the Department of Treasury. So understand, I ran 2 traumatic tracks at the same time. A deteriorating marriage and a deteriorating career. But I'm standing here now because of the pivot I was forced to take. And I'm doing this podcast because going forward, my pivots will be volitional because of the 1 yard line. I won't be forced to pivot. I will assess my position and I will move before things come to destroy my life, come to destroy my career, and come to destroy me. But understand, moving forward, shit is going to be great. I appreciate everything that happened. I'm here in Atlanta because remember, 1 yard line, I expressed to you I want to be a career coach, and I'm still on that fucking path. I expressed to you I wanted to be a mediator and I wanted to do speeches, and I'm still on that path. In March and April, before I even started my new job, I went to mediation certification training. I'm still on the same fucking yard line that I started on November 30th, 2017. I'm still on that motherfucking yard line. My credit got much better. My health got much better. My mental got much better. My savings got much better. I'm educated more. I'm a generally nicer fucking human being. But going forward, I'm going to recognize that need to pivot. 1 yard line.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.